We continue our study in John 4, verses 20 through 30. In our last study, we were looking at the word worship, how it appears so many times in our text. At least 8 times the word worship is written. And we spoke about the importance of worship. What is worship? Worship is the overflow of a grateful heart under a sense of divine favor. Worship is a spontaneous event. True worship does not have to be pumped up and primed. It is the outpouring of a heart that is filled with the sense of God's goodness, God's greatness, and God's glory. In Psalm 45:1, David said it this way in the King James Version. My heart is indicting a good matter. We don't use this word too often today. The word indicting means to keep moving. It was used to speak of a boiling pot of water. It has the idea of boiling over or bubbling up. In the New King James Version, it says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. Overflowing. It keeps moving, boiling over, bubbling up. As David reflected on the glory and the majesty of God as it is revealed in his creation, in his word, and in his salvation, his heart boiled over with love and praise for his God. His heart overflowed and worship ascended to God. We find this same picture in Psalm 23, verse 5, where we read, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. Worship is the overflow of a heart filled with the glory of who God is and what he has done. When we stop to reflect on him, his power, his grace, his love, his mercy, his salvation, his word, and a host of other things, our hearts are filled to overflowing with love and adoration for him. When that heart boils over, worship is the result. Worship is my entire being given honor, adoration, and glory to all that God is. Worship is the outpouring of a soul that is at rest in the presence of God. In this definition, an emphasis is on the spiritual condition of the worshiper. The believer is at perfect peace with God. He or she is conscious of the fact that they are in a right relationship with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The soul is at peace with God and it rejoices, it adores. They know they're in a right relationship. They're assured they've been accepted by God because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. They know the truth of Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know you're accepted. You know that you're saved. The believer has come to realize that in Christ, God sees him as sanctified, justified, redeemed, regenerated, and blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him, you know you're chosen, before the foundation of the world, so that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, we'll be holy and without blame in the presence of God, and the soul rejoices. We know we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us. Oh, hallelujah. These truths causes the soul to well up and to burst forth. It's bubbling over. The heart is burning with a passion for the Lord. The believer has come to realize that in Christ, God sees him as sanctified, justified, redeemed, regenerated, and blessed. As the believer considers who he is in Christ, his heart is filled with adoration and love and praise for the God who made it possible. He reaches heavenward with his praises directed toward the God who loved them, saved them, and blessed them. This is the idea expressed by the woman for her beloved in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the men. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Worship is the occupation of the heart, not with its needs or even with its blessings, but with God himself. Too often, our praying and our thinking is occupied with self. Is it not true that we may come to church, quote unquote, to get a blessing? Is it not true that we can go to God in prayer because we have a need? Is it not true that we often engage in what we call worship because of what we want to get out of it? In truth, genuine biblical worship is not about us getting anything. It's about us being lost in the wonder of who God is. When David was told by Nathan that God would establish David's throne and kingdom forever, David simply sat down in the presence of God. And this is what is recorded in 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 22. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. You have done all these great things to make your servant know them." As David sat there and basked in the glory and the goodness of God, he was overcome with wonder and praise. That is the essence of true worship. And my question is today to you, does this describe you? Does this describe you? If not, it should. Should. Maybe it's you've sat under false teaching over the years and you haven't come to realize these great truths that I just read to you from Ephesians. You have no concept of this great God in your mind. We have a great God. This image of the greatness of what worship is, you find in Revelation 4. Verse 11, where to begin this kind of worship here and now, not in the by and by, here and now. Revelation 4, verse 11. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, by your will they exist and were created. Here the saints are praising the Lord because of all that he's created. He created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God because God Almighty himself chose you to be a child of God. He could have left you in your sins and trespasses, but he came and he made you alive when you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. And that causes the soul to overflow with adoration and with worship. In Revelation 5, 9 to 14, we read, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain," speaking of Christ, "and have redeemed us to God by your blood." The only way to be redeemed is by the blood of the Lamb, of Jesus Christ, who have redeemed us, not going through, have redeemed us to God by your blood, that every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000s of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them," I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. In those verses, not a single petition is made. Not a single request is made. All that we find is pure, unadulterated worship of the person and the glory of Jesus Christ. Worship is the upspring of a heart that has known the Father as a giver, the Son as a Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the indwelling guest. While anyone in the world, basically even an unbeliever, can recognize that God exists and that he is supreme and the Creator, not everyone has the capacity to worship. The lost man can understand the reality of God, but he cannot appreciate the truths about God that can only be revealed by the Spirit of God. Once again, a sovereign work of God. He is the one that reveals. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. But the natural man, the unsaved person, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, the only reason that you understand God is because you have the mind of Christ that has been given to you. It's been a free gift. Believers, as I said, a pagan, he has some concept of God. Recognize God exists, supreme and creator, but he's not redeemed. There's no appreciation for the blood of Christ. There's no adoration. There's no worship. Believers, we have a special relationship with God. We enjoy a living water, as we see in our text in John 4. A living water. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he said, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John 4, verses 13 and 14. This is a picture of what happens to us when we're saved. The Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart. He fills us with the wonder of who God is, and he flows out of us in worship and service to God Almighty. Look at John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Christ stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Brothers and sisters, rivers of living water is to be flowing out of our hearts. Not a couple drops spitting out of a faucet. Rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. Brothers and sisters, we are in the new covenant. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit indwells the children of God. He fills us. He fills us, and out of us should come rivers of living water. Worship is the living water, returning to its source. In Ecclesiastes 1:7, Solomon wrote these words, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." In this verse, Solomon is talking about the hydrological cycle. The water comes down from the sky in the form of rain, snow, and ice. This water fills the river, and they flow down to the seas. The water is evaporated by the sun, and it goes back into the clouds. Then it is dropped on the earth once more. Worship operates the same way. The Spirit is on the inside, who is sent from heaven to our hearts, bubbles up and fills us with the wonder and the glory of our God. When he does this, the praise in our hearts flow out and is offered to God in the form of worship. It goes back to the source. Thus, all true worship begins with God. It flows to and through us, and then it ascends back to God. It is a divine cycle. I'd say those are enough definitions for one message. As we move through our study, we will encounter more words that are used for worship, and we will consider them. Let me say this. It seems incredible that so many people would worship rocks, statues, animals, give worship to themselves or their families or their possessions. Some people, they worship their church, their denomination, their creeds, their confessions. They worship their favorite preacher or their old traditions. The truth is, everybody gives honor, respect, and adoration to someone or something. That's what worship means. You're saying this is what that object is worth. To whom or to what do you give your worship? You're going to worship something or someone. Is your worship God-focused, God-directed, and God-centered? Is it Christ-focused, Christ-directed, and Christ-centered? Or, as is so often the case, is your worship self-focused? That's so what's damning about health and wealth, prosperity measures. It's self-focused, self-directed, self-centered. Even the faith is self-centered. It's not faith in God, it's faith in your faith. Is your worship religion-focused, religion-directed, religion-centered? Or is it Christ-centered, Christ-directed, Christ-focused. I want to challenge you to learn how to worship correctly. What or who are you worshiping? And I would pray that even right now the Holy Spirit will let you know. He's supposed to lead you into all truth. I would challenge you right now. Pray. Pray right now and ask. Ask the Lord, who or what are you worshiping? For only the worship of Jesus Christ is acceptable. For every knee shall bow and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That is for you, if you be outside of Christ, unbeliever. But ultimately, if you're not worshiping Christ, you are worshiping yourself in some way, shape, or form. And that worship of self is causing you to worship other things. Let me bottom line for you. In the book of Romans, it says, and they worship the creature rather than the creator. And at the end of the day, be it that you're a pagan or you a child of God, are you worshiping Jesus Christ, the creator, all things created by him and for him and through him? Are you worshiping Jesus Christ, or are you worshiping some person, place, or thing? That is the ultimate question.